Welcome to Fancastic, the fan podcast reviewing your favorite shows. I'm your host, Lauren Galloway. This podcast episode is the first in our writer series, and today we will be interviewing Psych writer Britt Hilgers. Britt Hilgers has been a staff writer on Psych for the past few years, but she was able to write her first episode last week entitled Juliet Wears the Pantsuit. This will be part one of our interview with Britt, where we get to know her a little bit, ask her about her background, and find out how she started writing on Psych. So relax, enjoy, and here is our interview with Psych writer Britt Hilgers.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Fancastic Fan Podcast. Tonight we have with us special guest Britt Hilgers.
Hi.
Who is a staff writer on Psych. I'm your host, Lauren Galloway, and we have with us Lacey.
Hello.
And Stephanie.
Hello.
So, Britt, first of all, we just wanted to say thank you so much for taking time to be on our podcast.
No, thank you guys. This is so special. I've never done anything like this. Thank you.
Well, I'm honored to have you choose us as your first podcast partner.
Well, feels good to be here, lady.
So, first off, we are going to just ask you some questions about you, and then we'll ask you a few questions about writing for Psych, and then we will jump into your episode. Okay. So, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right, where do you want to start? Let's see. I mostly grew up in Arizona, and I stayed there for college and went to college at Arizona State. I majored in English. I knew I wanted to do something in the realm of writing or performing or acting or something, but I didn't know what that was yet. So, but I had done that most of my life. I was in musical theater and like did a bunch of stuff like that. And, but yeah, and then I landed on writing. So that's me. And I'm married to a guy named Mike, who's a teacher. He's awesome. I just turned 30. That's cool. Not cool, actually.
I'm sure it's great.
Now everyone knows.
Yeah. Did you jump into writing right after college, or did you work a little bit between?
I went to film school after I graduated from Arizona State. I went to get my master's in screenwriting. And, you know, you don't need to get a master's in screenwriting to become a screenwriter at all. You don't even need to go to film school to be a writer at all. I didn't know anybody out here, and, you know, I wanted time to work on my writing, and I wanted time to learn and get to collaborate with a bunch of people, like-minded people, and so I was just like, you know, I'm going to go to grad school and film school. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to do this, and I went right after I got, right after I graduated. I was 24 years old, and did a two-year program, and then, got into writing and then loved it. Just from then on, just loved it.
Is that where you met your writing partner?
Yeah, exactly. We met at Chapman University is where I did my master's.
Sweet.
Yeah. And we've been writing together for a while now. Yeah, so
he's great. And how long have you been writing for Psych?
Well, I started on Psych, in the end of season two. And I started off as their production assistant, actually. I started off as their production assistant. And then I gradually moved myself up, like, every season, you know, one little step up further, like, up to, I was Steve's assistant, Steve Frank's assistant for, like, half a season once. I've done everything on the show pretty much. But writing an episode was by far the best thing that I've done on the show. So,
awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Go ahead.
When you were younger, you know, did you ever see yourself being a writer? Or like, you say you kind of just sort of fell into it, right? Or
yeah. Well, I did a lot. No, I was always like a performing arts person. So like in sixth grade, I was like the lead in the musical. I played Johnny Appleseed, a boy, in the musical in sixth grade. And so ever since then, I was just like I got like the performing arts bug, you know. So I did that all through high school and stuff. And I was just like after that, I got tired of being in the spotlight all the time, and like, I mean, not like that or anything, but like just having to audition, and like, it's just a nerve-wracking process that I didn't want to be a part of anymore. So I was just like, you know what? I've always loved writing, and I love comedy, and so I just started. I took a creative writing class at Arizona State when I was 20, and after that, I was like, I really like this, and I'm kind of good at it, so I think I'm going to go for it. And I told Mike, who we were still together at that time. I was like, I want to move to LA and be a screenwriter, and he laughed to my face. Are you serious? Really? Okay. and I was like, yeah, I know, it's pretty nuts. I still can't believe that I'm actually doing it. So there's that.
Awesome. Yeah, I have a friend who asked a Twitter question, or a question on Twitter. She's actually one of my friends. Her name is Rebecca. She says, are you a big fan of 80s pop culture? Pop culture, as there are so many references throughout the series and through your episode specifically as well.
Yes. I was a teenager of the 90s, where as opposed to all the other writers who were teenagers in the 80s. You know, so I was like, I'm more into like the 90s references, and like I get more of those, you know. So when I learned I got to write this single white female type of episode, you know, it kind of brought me back to the whole 90s vibe with the, you know, the slick female driven thriller, you know. So it was just like I sort of tapped into that whole 90s vibe, and that's how it went. I love the 80s stuff too, but the 90s stuff is just like, I really
right up your it. Alley.
I actually aged you, because you wrote about Zima and Silence of the Lambs, and I was like, these are all 90s references. She's a good like 10 years younger than these other guys.
Yeah, no,
I was like, Zima.
Obviously, nice. It was a nice change, right? You know, like you fit
what?
In. Obviously, you fit in. Obviously, you fit in well with, like, the other writers. I mean, even though they're, like, all about the 80s and
oh, yeah. Well, the guys are so amazing. They're just the nicest guys ever. Like, I've heard stories of other, you know, writing staffs and that aren't so great, and, like, people with fights and egos and whatever, you know. But everybody on this show is just so nice to each other, and we all love each other and support each other, and
that's wonderful.
So riding on a bus with him all the way to Vancouver isn't bad at all. It's like,
no, that's what it feels like every day. Actually, like, we're together all the time. You know, we're there from 9 till, you know, sometimes like 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and you know, we eat lunch together, we eat dinner together. Like, we're just in each other's face all the time. So by the end of the season, we're like, okay, I need a break. But we're always so happy to see each other when we come back, and we miss each other during the hiatus, you know, because we have a break like for 2-3 months in between seasons.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
So this is probably going to reveal more about myself than I should, but when I was a little kid, I was a super lonely kid, so I used to sit on the floor with the World Book Encyclopedia and draw the flags of all the countries in the world, and I memorized all the flags and all the capitals of the countries, and this is knowledge that I can still use, and people think it's crazy. So I'm just wondering if you have any kind of really quirky or unusual knowledge that you have, like you have an intense amount of knowledge that maybe people would think is weird, or not, it could just be normal.
Well, funny you ask, I do. Well, I have two things. Can I say two things?
Yeah.
The first thing is that I've known how to say the Greek alphabet since I was 12, and I can still recite it to you.
Wow.
Because and it wasn't because I was ever in a frat or, I mean, a sorority. I never was into that. But I still know it today. And the second thing is that I know a lot about the Lord of the Rings. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings nerd fangirl.
Can you speak Elvish?
My dad, who is also a big LOTR Nerdfest lover, he knows a little Elvish, actually.
That is amazing.
I could
love
ask
it.
Him to teach me some.
That's
and I'll get back to you on that.
give us a phrase.
Oh gosh.
At some point, you don't have to do it.
Wait, hold on. He got a license plate. My dad. He got a license plate that says Oshnaz, which is it's like written in the ring. You know, he was like all amazing. Out crazy. It was So I got all that from my dad. Like, it's just
so you come from a long line of nerds.
Like, I really do.
The majority of us, I hope and think, do. That actually goes along with one of my other questions that I was going to ask. I went to a panel at Comic-Con at the Nerd Headquarters, and Zachary Levi and the Nerd Machine asked this really cool question, and I wanted to throw it your way. They said everyone is a nerd for something, you know, whether it be fashion, a TV show, sports, beer pong, whatever. So what are you a nerd for, other than Lord of the Rings? Anything? I mean, obviously. Yeah.
No, because that's like my go-to answer for that.
Is Lord of the Rings?
No, wait. I do have another thing that I'm a total nerd for is musicals.
Ooh.
Heck yeah.
Like I starred in the High School Musical my senior year, and I just love it. And I'm a closet musical nerd. So like when Steve Franks got to write the musical episode this year, I was like, ah!
Like,
we cannot wait for that episode.
I'm freaking out about it.
Seriously.
Seriously.
It is amazing.
Dexter said people were going to freak out about it.
Yeah, like, unbelievable. I can't say anything else about it, but...
Right, but then it's amazing.
That's all he would tell me.
Wait, does Tim's hair look awesome? Can you say that?
Tim is just awesome in general. I mean, Tim is God, right? Everything about Tim is amazing.
We love Tim. We are big team Tim people here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm Team Woody right
That's
here.
That's right.
Yes.
Why? Stephanie, tell her why. Because.
I'll tell you. Meeting Kurt Fuller for the first time was like, I totally fangirled out on him because I'm a huge, huge Wayne's World fan.
Yes.
And from the original, you know, he played Russell. And I had to, like, totally nerd out on him and be like, I loved you. I grew up, like, loving that movie. And I, like, quoted some things from it. I totally asked myself.
I love it.
He loved it. And he was flattered. So I didn't feel like too much of an ass.
That's awesome.
Whatever. But it was a highlight for me.
Last week we were talking about how much we love Kurt Fuller, and Stephanie came up with a great phrase. Stephanie, would you like to share it with her?
Oh, no. I said a little Woody goes a long way.
Yeah.
And
there you go.
I didn't notice it until it came out of my mouth how it sounded, but I was just commenting on how he makes the most out of his scenes that he's in.
It's true. I mean, you never forget him. No matter what he says, you never forget him, because you're just like...
But this week's episode, a little Woody's enough for two, apparently.
So. There you go.
But we'll get to that later.
I know we're going to get to that later, but I have to tell you that the loudest I scream laugh during this episode was when Woody answered the phone call for the roommate finder.
Yes.
I was not expecting that. I laughed so hard.
Oh my God, we came up with that when that came up in the room when we were breaking the story. We just laughed so hard, and we were just so excited about this whole storyline. So I'm glad that
I love that
you liked it.
That's amazing.
All right, so we're gonna jump into questions about psych in general, and I'll start. So what is it like working with Maggie Lawson and Kirsten Nelson and just the whole cast? Just share a little bit about that.
Well, of course, amazing. They're pros. They're serious pros. Like, if there was a line change that I needed done on set, like, because, you know, things just change. Like, things come up, and you need to tweak something here and there. I walk up to Dulay, and I'm like, hey, Dulay, could you say, like, it this way, or say a different word here? And he's like, yeah, no problem. And then he'll just say it with that, like, he knew it, like, he'd memorized it for 2 weeks, you know. They're just amazing. And then they work so well together. It's like, watching James and Dulay do their thing, it's
Magic.
It's amazing.
Is it magic?
Magic. Yes, it really is, because they just like have this rapport that's just like, you guys obviously see it, but like seeing it in person was just like this other thing. It was just like, whoa.
It's like watching live theater or like a musical.
Yeah,
it's like you're there. You're in the moment.
Yeah.
When I'm watching the episode, sometimes it doesn't even feel like it's written. It just feels so spontaneous and live, and it comes across like even in the editing and through the TV, like you can tell that those two guys are just like total snuggle bros, like in real life.
Oh yeah, and like a lot of the stuff, like the back and forth fights, like the no, yes, yes, no, no, yes, you know, like they just do that. You know, they'll just let because the director will just let the scene go sometimes. He or she will just let it roll, and then they'll just keep going until he or she says cut, you know?
I love it.
Yeah, and they're great. So great. And Maggie, oh my God, Maggie.
Maggie, we love Maggie.
So Maggie Lawson is so amazing, and I can't say enough good things about her, and she's just made me feel so special up there, and she was so supportive, and she loved that, you know, just this whole episode and like the way it was going, and she was really into it, and that made me feel confident and good and like happy that
awesome.
She was happy that where it was going with, so, and she did great. She
did really great. It was,
I mean, that ass kicking at the end, I mean, there was even more that we shot of that ass kicking scene. Like, there was more of it. Like, that was just a teen bit of the whole thing. So.
I love when they let Jules like be badass. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, everything, using a crossbow and then like, you know, kicking ass in the apartment last night or whatever it was. And
I loved her in Lassie Jerky when she was doing the whole like she was taking care of everybody in the field.
Oh, yeah. She was so intense in that.
Lassie, Jules knows how to shoot a crossbow.
Right?
It's like,
What did your script say for the fight scene? Was it written out? Or you just like Juliet kicks ass. Like, what do you write for?
I believe the words I used were, well, it was supposed to be a double team ass kicking. it was supposed to. What we shot was that it was Maggie and the girl who played Lainey. Rachel, she and Maggie like did a double team ass kicking, so we had choreographers do the fight, so like they were doing it together, like every move was together, but when we saw it back in the editing room, I think it was just like a little too animalistic and like too rough and tumble. I don't know, I loved it, but anyway, so what was I saying? Yeah, so they were fighting. Where was I going with this?
You're just saying that they shot more than...
Yes, sorry. Yeah, so, but the way it was written, that's how it was written, and I had said in the lines, it was like, and then Jules and Lainey deliver the greatest double-team female ass-kicking in the history of USA Network or something like that.
That is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, that was literally written in the script.
I would hang that page on my wall. That is awesome.
Have it professionally framed.
Yes.
And we wrote it in the outline too. So like the whole the whole network and the studio, they all read it. So
I was like, okay. That's amazing.
Yes, brilliant. That is amazing.
So I mean, like, what is it like to like hear, you know, all of the brilliant, amazing, practically perfect in every way actors and cast and everything like say the lines that you wrote, like what?
Crazy. It was. I know the word surreal is ridiculous, but it was surreal. It was just like really weird. Because this is my first episode of television. The thing I'd written before was hashtag killer, and I did the social sector, and like so I kind of got a little taste of it, but. Not the way that this was. I mean, this was just amazing. It was, and knowing how much work was put into getting it all done and ready and there, and just to see it come to life was just, it was the most amazing feeling I've felt ever.
Awesome.
Wow. That's amazing. We have two Twitter questions from Danny on Twitter. It's Danny G. And he said, well, Psych has always been funny. I think the writing has gone even funnier. Am I crazy?
That's so funny. Well, Danny, you're not crazy. but yeah, I think maybe it's just like, because we're getting into more of the character stuff, you know, it's more of like we're doing more personal stories, and so I think those are informing the comedy a lot. So it's just like something about that so it's not just like about, hey, we're going to the circus. No, it's about Gus is, you know, he's got to watch his girlfriend's son, you know, so it's like this extra layer, you know, so we can work in a little more comedy there, and I think maybe that's what it is, I don't know.
And it's a yummy layer, we like the layer.
Yes, as the seasons progress, like, are you given, like, more leeway, maybe? Like, more leeway to, like, do things with the characters, get a little bit crazier over the seasons?
Well, yeah, for sure. Woody is a great example of that.
Absolutely.
No, but I guess Woody always started out as a little nuts. But we've gone progressively just a little bit more nuts with him every time.
He became a player. You
know, yeah. Exactly, I think we started to write, like, when did we put Jules and Sean together, like, season 4 or 5, I can't even remember, but, like, yeah, that's when we kind of started to get to write, like, a bunch of personal story stuff, because it's just like, okay, well, what about Gus, and are they going to have a personal life, and Sean, you know, because we meet their parents and stuff, so it's like, you know.
It feels like a natural progression as far as, like, not only, like, the characters, but also the actors. You know, like Maggie has just really come out, like, the past 2 seasons, I think, and just, like, she could carry a whole show, and she was kind of off to the side a little bit, and now she's just this huge presence, and, like, if she's not in the scene, then you definitely notice that she's not there, and, like, I think that she's grown, so, like, her story, you know, her stories have grown, and, like,
yeah.
So I think it's just like everything that's happened, I think it's like a natural progression of them
totally
as people and characters.
And I was so excited.
Am I crazy?
No. That was part of the reason why I wanted so badly to write a Juliet-centric episode, because I just love her character so much and there's so many layers to it. And I hope that I brought out a little more in this episode.
You did.
Definitely.
Danny's second question. Also, how is the camaraderie among the writers? Which you kind of answered before. You guys spend a lot of time together.
We're best friends.
And is it more difficult to write lines for certain characters?
It depends. So every character on our show has a unique voice, and so it's like you can always, like, get yourself into it and be able to write for it, but it's the scenes that have like this other layer to them, this heaviness to them, like the opening scene, you know, with Sean moving out, and, you know, you kind of have, it can't be the Sean that we see all the time, you know, it's kind of sad Sean, but we still got to play the comedy too, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the hardest part to write for the characters is trying to find that balance.
That actually leads right into our next question. Like, how hard is it to write for sad Jules? You know, like, how, like, like, as, you know, I mean, obviously to a certain extent, like, you know, the writers have to be a shipper of them in order to write for them, but, do you, you know, ship them? I mean, do you, like, ultimately in the end, are you, like, cheering them on? Are you like, oh, I'd like to see them move elsewhere, or, you know?
I am Team Shules for sure. Yes. I love them together, and they're so great. And I know them in real life, too, so.
Well, yeah. Makes you pull for them even harder, so yeah. You're like, yeah.
Does that make it even harder to write,
the sad
scenes?
With that?
Like, knowing them in real life, does that make it even harder to write, like, sad Jules scenes than it would, like, normally?
Well, no, not, because I'm not, like, super close with them or anything. It's just, the only person that comes down to the office a lot is James. So it's cool, it was cool to get to know them a little better when I was up there on set.
Cool. So, like, when they, or the powers that be, which may even be you guys as the writers, you know, when they came to you and said, hey, we got the storyline, you know, or y'all, or when y'all came up with it, you know, we're gonna have, you know, Sean and Jules split up for a while. Were you like, ah, keyboard smash, or what? Like, were you just like excited?
No, I thought it was a great decision, because I think that she needed to know, she needed to find out, because it's like they've been together for so long, and for them to move forward, you need to have an honest relationship. You need to have, you know, so that was like a. I thought that was a genuine, real moment, and I'm just like, stop being so mad at us, okay? She needed to find out her boyfriend was lying to her.
We're not mad at you. We're very glad.
Yes. Okay. We've actually had this discussion the last 2 weeks about how it just needed to happen, and it was
it
should have happened. And I would have been more upset with the show if it ended without her ever knowing, because she's supposed to be a strong, smart woman, and then like here's this dude that's lying to her, and she's never gonna know. Am I supposed to assume she's never gonna find out? And
that wasn't cool.
Yeah, no, we're totally not mad. We were talking about, like, you know, some other people out there. We've got some haters, like, you know, angry mobs coming.
I know.
Bang the sword down.
This question was for later, but I'm gonna go ahead and ask now since we're talking about it. So there's been a lot of, like, online, just Twitter or whatever, anger directed toward Jules. Not even to the writers, just to, like, Jules, that she's mad at him. And it makes me, as, like, a normal adult, want to grab them by the scruff of the neck and use that magic mirror that I have and put it in front of them and show them themselves in 20 years with, like, this lying, abusive boyfriend who they're with. So what would you say to these maybe, like, you know, 12 to 15-year-olds that think that, like, Jules is crazy for being mad at cute little Sean with the cute hair, you know?
Yeah, well, part of me is, like, I have to put myself in their shoes. Like, when I was 12, I'd be like, oh, I don't want my favorite couple to break up. You know? But, no, I would say the same thing, you know? It's just, like, you know, we try to make these people as real as possible, and you want there to be a realness to this relationship, and I think it's better that way. I think it's much better, and, like, you know, and as you'll see, like, coming up in maybe, you know, whatever episodes or whatever, you'll see some things happen that might be good. I'll just say that.
Sweet.
Maybe they should just be more understanding then, and not angry.
Yeah.
You shouldn't hit on Jules.
But these are the same kids who don't know what Zima is, so they're learning a lot in this episode.
Indeed, yes.
There you go.
They don't know anything about Zima, something different.
So I think you answered a little bit, you touched base a little bit on this earlier, but it seems like a lot of people have had their hands in just about every cookie jar there is to be had on the set of Psych. Is there a job that you haven't got to try yet and would like to?
Like all the jobs?
Anything. Anything. You want to be on, like, you want to make a cameo on the show? Do you want to do you want to, you know, carry coffee to someone? I mean, whatever.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
you haven't tried or been given the opportunity.
Some of the writers, they get to do, like, a walk-on role in their episode, you know. There just wasn't time for mine, but that would have been a lot of fun. But just, like, working with Jen Lynch, director Jen Lynch, like, made me, like, think, God, if I could direct like her, what she was doing, I would love to direct someday. Like, having worked with her and seeing, like, what she does, and just, like, it's amazing. So I would say director.
Thank you for listening to part one of our writer series with Psych writer Britt Hilgers. Stay tuned for a specific interview with Britt regarding her episode, Juliet Wears the Pantsuit. In that podcast episode, we get to hear about the fight scene with the two women, how the single white female idea came forward. Of course, more of Britt's love for all things 90s, and just how much fun she had working on this episode and collaborating with the writing team, with director Jen Lynch, and of course, the show creator Steve Franks and all of the cast and crew of the show. So stay tuned. That will be our next episode. If you would like to tweet us any questions or comments about this podcast, you can find us on Twitter at FantasticFP. You can also email us anytime at FantasticFanPodcast@gmail.com. Add us on Google Plus at that same address. And if you ever want to catch our live episode reviews, which we usually do Thursday nights at around 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, you can tune into our live podcast with Stephanie Lacey and myself on our YouTube page, which is YouTube/FantasticFanPodcast. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to podcasting with you again soon.